Elijah, the prophet of God, and we've been following his life and ministry, and what a life and what a ministry that it actually is. And we've been doing a bit of geography to make sure we're at least a little familiar with some of the places where the action that we've been looking at has been taking place. So Elijah is from Gilead, this is the River Jordan, Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea and such things, Mediterranean here. And last time we were with him on Mount Carmel over here. And we've even got some pictures to go with that. And no expense here, you see. There we are, pictures. Not very good ones, mind you, but anyway, give you some idea of Mount Carmel. Big, rocky outcrop. Overlooks the sea. But if we had the picture of it overlooking the sea, it would be a bit misleading because our city of Haifa is underneath. And so something of what it would have been like in Elijah's day would be lost on us. It wouldn't quite capture that. Well, we've been seeing that Elijah has not been ministering at a time of particular spiritual strength in the northern kingdom of Israel, because we're in the northern kingdom. It's part up here, not the southern kingdom, centered around Jerusalem and Judah. Worshipping Baal, false god, much beloved of the people of Sidon. And there is the issue. Jezebel, the wife of the king, Ahab, that's where she was from. That was a place where they worshipped Baal. And she brought all of that with her into the kingdom. And so it affected the whole, the spiritual climate of the northern kingdom. They were worshippers of Baal. Oh, and worshippers of God, trying somehow to mix them together. And we saw last time that Elijah brings all the people to Carmel, including the prophets of Baal, and that it was time to make up our minds, time to decide. Who really is God? Is it Baal? Is he the God that's in charge and who we can pray to and who will intervene? Or is it the God of Israel, the God of Scripture, the God who has revealed himself there to Israel, led them through from Egypt, through the Red Sea, into the Promised Land, and had intervened in their history so many times? Is he for real? And of course, we might well know, sure we do, that having given the instruction to the king, there'll be no dew nor rain, 3.5 years, as we read there in James chapter 5, there atop Mount Carmel, and here is the challenge. The Lord is God. Follow him. If he is God, then you must forsake mixing Baal or any of the other gods, goddesses of that day. You must part with them entirely. He sets them the challenge, doesn't he? And they're allowed to go first and to have their bull on the altar. And the one who answers by sending fire down from heaven, well, Elijah says, that will be the indication that is the true God, and that's the one we should worship. And the prophets of Baal, much energy. Morning, noon, way on to the evening time. Commotion, gashing themselves. Baal, hear us. There's nothing to hear. It's not there. No answer. And all of that energy, and we were thinking about the energy that there is in religion. False religion. It's got energy, commitment, devotion. Why even sacrifice? We'll gouge ourselves here. We'll deny ourselves there. We'll try and attract God's interest. So they believe there. Well, even atheism, the non-belief in God, has energy or has commitment. And people are busy trying to make their cause to happen. And here they were. Total and utter failure. And so, of course, Elijah then calls the people near, prays, and having, well, fully covered the sacrifice in water, trench around it, pots of water over it, and again, and again, and again, so that really this would make it almost impossible for anything to catch fire. He prays, and the fire comes down, as we read a moment ago, takes hold of the sacrifice, and the stones and the dust and the water in the trench. It is so spectacularly, phenomenally clear. This is God. And so they are to follow him. But when the prophets of Baal, as we read, well, they were put to death. That was it. That was it for them, that they had shown their total evil, their effect that they were having on the nation. And there it was, the law came by Moses. There's no forgiveness for them in that. They were put to death. So we move on from that. What happens next? Well, of course, there's something to be said to Ahab and to be advised as to the coming of rain. Rain is going to come. Elijah prayed, hadn't he? And we read that he prayed very, very earnestly. We'll come to that in a minute, that it would not rain. And it did not rain. 3.5 years. And that again, he prayed, it did rain. The earth again received water and became fruitful. So I've got a question, actually, because we're coming to the fact of Elijah's prayer. Let's put that there. Do we really pray? That's a question, isn't it? Do we really pray? Do we? Well, it's the old saying, well, we say our prayers. We may be very, very right in our prayers, very, very clear in our doctrine, good. And do we really pray? Because here's the thing. Elijah prays. He prays. And this is some prayer because in James, New Testament writer, refers back to Elijah as an example, somebody who prayed, whose prayer was effective, whose prayer was heard by God in such a way that God was willing, because of the prayer of this man, if you like, to say no rain then. 3.5 years with all of the implications for that. And how it really bore down, didn't it, on the nation, and how difficult life was. And then, when this man prayed again, it did rain. We read in Scripture, it was no ordinary rain either, was it? How it rained. It rained so much that if Ahab hadn't got a move on, oh, the roads had been flooded, impassable. So from having been a drought for 3.5 years, suddenly, as this man prayed, it was now almost like flooded out. And here he is, and there's his servant looking out to sea. There's Elijah praying. Well, that's praying. And, well, people try, don't they, to capture best they can with a picture. But that's, I guess, says something of what we read in Scripture, of how he bowed down and put his head, as it were, there between his legs in that way and prayed. He prayed, didn't he? And at the first, because he had to send his servant to go and look, because Elijah knew this was what he's meant now to be praying, and he was praying fervently for it, as Scripture tells us, and he sends his servant again and again and again, nothing to see. No, there's nothing there. I'm looking for something over the sea. The servant's a bit puzzled. Well, no sign of rain here at the moment. Go and look again. Go and look again. And the seventh time, well, what sort of cloud is that? I mean, what kind of rain is that going to be? Well, here in Derbyshire, you know, we get a fair bit of rain, we have to tell you visitors there. That's the fact. Well, others know that only a little bit too well. A little cloud, oh, not much there to worry about. We've seen clouds like that, so it's just a spot of rain. It looks as if it was just that. It wasn't just that. And Elijah knew that was going to be the rain that was going to transform again the countryside, was going to revive the ground, be providing foodstuffs there for the livestock, that this was the moment. And that was the cloud. God had heard his prayer. So we come back to the question. Do we really pray? Do we really pray? Because this man did. And the picture just captures something of that for us. That's real, isn't it? That's real. Now, we might wonder ourselves, don't we? Well, prayer, that's difficult. Prayer is really difficult. If we're honest, we might say, that's very hard. It is very hard. And the fact is, yes, it is. And in a way, because It is of all the spiritual things that we do, the one in a way which brings us closest to God and which has the greatest influence and power not only on our soul, but really then prevailing with God. It's a big thing. That's why it's not easy. Because we can tell you this, the devil, why, all things will try to stop you and stop me from praying. So what can we learn? Well, let's see what Scripture says. He prayed earnestly. He prayed earnestly. And what does that mean? He was serious. He was really, really serious. Oh, we can lose the sense of what this is about and how serious it is, just simply because we pray and this is what we do and we can just stop sometimes and pray, but we're not actually in that prayer. We're not serious. We're not really taken up with what we're praying about. It's too casual. It's too flippant at times. It's too ordinary. Because we're talking to God. That's not ordinary. That we should be able to talk with God, that I could stand in that pulpit at the beginning of the service and partway in, and we can pray and speak to God. And what I can say about him in prayer and what we read about him just in the short time we have in the service, well, it doesn't do him justice, does it? Who he is. Great God that he is. It doesn't do him justice at all. And we go on tiptoe, don't we? We're cringing, really, that we bring so little, such as poverty of prayer, poverty of thought, poverty of worship. He's very generous and very gracious. But we take it seriously. Prayer's a serious matter because God is a serious being. He's the judge of all the earth. And that came through, didn't it, in James chapter 5. And so we might say, well, do I have to get down like this? Is that what is required? No, not that. We don't all have to, when we pray, we all have to get down and be precisely as in this picture here. No, it's your heart. It's your heart. If your heart is where that man is there, then that's praying. Well, that's what's looked for. Not the posture, but the heart engaged in it. Good time to, well, this is the evening, isn't it? But for us, well, I'd reckon, pray in the morning. Pray in the morning. That's a good time to pray. Isn't always practical for various reasons for all of us to be able to do that then. Pray in the morning. Good start to the day. To be able to be before God. Get the day right. Get it straight. To have the priorities fixed in our thinking. And to have his blessing upon us. We believe God answers prayer. If this lesson doesn't teach us this, then what does it teach us? That's the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Always that, isn't it? We need to be serious about God. We need, spiritually, to be in the right place. We just don't think much of him. We don't really believe him. We believe in him. Well, are we going to receive very much? Well, that's a question we have to ask. Pardon me, our visitors here, but as a fellowship at the moment, we had a week of prayer a little while back because we're facing some challenges. We really are. We're facing some challenges, and we need to be praying. And that's not just those of mature years. Young people, you need to be praying. We need all of us to be praying and seeking God and realizing it's serious and God is serious. Where we are is serious, because here's something I think that was very much part of what Elijah was about. He cared about the honor of God. He cared about the honor of God. He cared that Baal worship was going on. He cared about Jezebel and Ahab and what they were doing to the people, the false things that they were teaching and all of the way in which it was taking away from the glory of God. That what should have been given to God was being given half it to Baal and maybe half it to God, but it didn't really count. It really was all going to Baal. And that grieved Elijah. And that was brought into his prayer. You know, often the trouble is we don't feel enough. We really don't feel enough about what's happening. We get used to it, so we just sort of put up with it. I don't think Elijah was that kind of man. He prayed. He prayed. Look what he accomplished. Look what he accomplished. People, look what he accomplished. Yeah, what your prayers might accomplish in the purposes of God. He cared about the honour of God. Do we? Or do we really think such small thoughts of God that we really couldn't care less about him? And he was urgent about this. And he knew God well enough to know that this was what was now his to pray. That God would show mercy. Believe this. God would show mercy despite everything. That the fire coming down from heaven and the response of the people, however real and lasting it was going to be, but nevertheless, God was willing to show mercy. And here's the wonderful thing. He's willing to show mercy to our nation, to us as a local church. He's willing. And we pray to such a God, seriously, earnestly, if we want his mercy, then we'll be somewhere like that. Taken up with him, taken up with where we are, taken up with what people are saying about God out there. And a lot of it is poor. It's horrible, in fact. A lot of people don't even believe in him. They write books saying, oh, I don't even believe in him. That's terrible. It's very sad. And we should feel it. And it should come into our prayers. And he also says he prayed fervently. Serious? Really serious about God, who he is, about his nature, that he shows mercy. And that was all coming into his prayer here and the rain that followed from it. Fervently. It's energy. He was energetic in it. He was putting his soul into it. His spirit was in this thing. And again, God hears such prayers. Now, we may not be there. I'm sure we probably aren't, we'd have to say. But we must think to ourselves, that's what I want to get to. I want to be like Elijah. Isn't it beautiful? He's a man of like nature as ourselves. And we're going to be seeing in the next time up, perhaps, just how it all went a little bit awry with him. And it showed us that actually he is a man like us, and passions like us, and troubles like us. But God heard the prayers, not of perfect people, but of people who love him and who really are serious and who really bring an urgency, fervency, that they're committed to this and pouring their hearts into it. Oh, it is a day, isn't it? An apathetic age, and it can affect us all. A lethargic age, and we can just sort of slump in that way, not feel it. Feel the glory, the weight of his majesty, and that stirs us to pray. Feel how out there they don't care about the honor of God, but we do. And we pray out of that. And we pray believing this, that there's always hope. God can always show mercy. That's how he is. He's so, so generous. Despite all that we are, lacking prayer, lacking fervency, not much seriousness, that he can take us step by step, step by step, and lead us in prayer. So do we really pray? That's the question to take away, isn't it? Do we really pray when we set ourselves, perhaps in the morning, to pray? Is that really prayer? Are we engaged in that? Do we care enough in our prayers? Do we believe enough about the glory of God in our prayers? Can't answer all of that now. Can't make it all happen for you right here and right now any more than I can make it happen for myself. But he's a good example, isn't he, for us, and one that's worth reaching towards, that God may give us grace and take us to where Elijah reached there. So, do we really pray? Let's have our closing hymn, which just takes us to some of those thoughts. John Newton's hymn 384, Great Shepherd of Thy People Here.